Good morning. How good it is to be together once again. A beautiful day outside, a beautiful day inside in the beauty of our sacred space. Always good to gather together to worship and to sing and to pray and to be with one another. A welcome to everyone. I want to extend a special welcome this morning to Reverend Homer Royer. He's going to stand up so you can see him. He is here as our guest preacher this morning, sharing his word and God's word in the midst of them. And so we are very grateful to have you as a part of us this morning. A special welcome, as always, to those of you who may be visiting with us for the first time. If you are visiting with us for the first time, there is a card in your pew that looks a little something like this. Mine has some doodles on it, so yours might too. but if you would be so kind as to fill this out for us and then put it in the basket in the back of the church on the pew in the back, this just helps us learn a bit more about you and so that we can reach out to you and you can learn a bit more about us. And I trust that all of you know, whether a visitor or regular, that no matter who you are and no matter where you are on life's journey, it is our deep desire to meet you where you are, and most importantly, to share God's love with you. I do have a few important announcements to share, the first of which, once again, for one more week, I promise, the nursery will not be available. It turns out when you take everything out of a room to get new carpet, you then have to put it back. So there will be just one more week of having to rearrange and put things in their place, but next week we will have a nursery. So in the meantime, we'll try to make worship extra entertaining and kid-friendly for everyone. Once again, another announcement, our VBS, Volunteer, Believe, Serve opportunities are happening throughout the summer. Our first group is headed to Mitzvah Circle today following worship, but we still have three more opportunities. Our next one, I believe, is the 20th of July? Yes, July 20th, and that's at the MCC Material Resource Center in Souderton. There's also something happening here, which you'll hear more about in the weeks ahead, and then another one in the Mitzvah Circle. So if you are up for a volunteer opportunity, please check out the bulletin board and the table in the back and sign up. One more thing, and this is going to also be in your Herald upcoming. Many of you are accustomed to donating giant gift cards for gas and groceries around the holidays. We are having a Christmas in July because our gift card supply is dwindling quickly as we help our neighbors by providing them with the things that they need to get through. So if you are so inclined, we would love to have some giant gift cards to hand out to people. So if you purchase those, you can drop them off in the church office during the week or, of course, bring them to church. I believe those are all of the announcements for this morning. So I'm going to invite you to join me in taking a deep breath as we breathe in God's Spirit that fills this place, as we exhale and relax into this moment, as we set aside the many things that are distracting us and calling to us, so that we can be fully present in this time and in this place, as we focus our hearts and minds in the spirit of worship this morning. once saw a car adorned with a bumper sticker that read, "That love your neighbor thing, I meant that, God." It made me laugh, but it also holds within it truth that we need to be reminded of, especially on this day when our theme is caring neighbors. You see, I believe that we know that God's first and most important commandment is to love. But so often we unknowingly, or maybe knowingly, shape our lives and surround ourselves with people that make love look easy, or at least more enjoyable. After all, life is too short and the world and all of its many issues are far too polarizing to have to deal with people we don't like, or people that drive us crazy, or people that we fundamentally disagree with, right? Except for not so much. In fact, Christ reminds us that it is only through loving our sometimes more challenging neighbors that we will truly know fullness of life and fullness of love. God did mean for us to be people of love, but I also believe that God knows how hard that is, which is why we get opportunity after opportunity to get it right, and why we are forgiven when we don't, which is why God has given us the gift of a faith community, so that we might literally share a pew with people we might otherwise never cross paths with, reminding us that there is not much that separates us when it comes down to it. So may we truly be caring neighbors, not just in the bumper stickers we have, but in the way we live our very lives. And may it begin right here and right now in this place as we gather together to worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join me as we confess our sins together by praying the prayer that is printed in our bulletins. Let us pray. Loving God, we all like to think of ourselves as good Samaritans. We know in our hearts that if we are truly following your lead and acting as your hands and feet in the world, we have no choice but to stop and respond with compassion. The trouble is, doing that often requires us to pay closer attention to those around us. Though they may not be beaten down or lying injured by the side of the road, every single day we pass by neighbors in need. Some are family and close friends whose love we take for granted, and some are strangers whom we quickly judge and walk away from. Whoever it is we are overlooking, forgive us for not taking the time or being too inconvenienced or scared to stop and lend a hand. Help us to have more of your vision than our own when it comes to seeing and looking out for those around us, knowing that when we do, we will see you more clearly. Amen. Friends, when we dare to confess our sins, when we dare to claim our mistakes, when we dare to allow God to shift our perspective and open our eyes, we are able to see and experience the abundant love and mercy of Christ in new and life-giving ways. May we accept God's gifts of grace, and may they truly change the way that we live and love in this world. Amen. Please be seated. Our first scripture reading is from Paul's letters to the Colossians, chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, so that you may have all endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And our gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. This is a familiar story, but let's listen with new ears. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to vindicate himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and took off, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." As always, I have a special message for our children. I see a few out there, and of course, it's a message for all of us. So how many of you know your neighbors? Do you talk to your neighbors? Are you friends with your neighbors? Do you share things with them? How many of you live in a neighborhood, right? It's kind of like a bunch of houses. A lot of them kind of look the same. Maybe your parents work at the same places near where you live. That might be why you've got a neighborhood there. When I was a kid, I used to play with all the kids in my neighborhood, and it was so much fun. But when Jesus talks about neighbors, he wants us to make our neighborhood a lot bigger. He's talking about people outside of our neighborhood. In fact, he's mostly talking about people that are really different from us. Those we might not know, those that might be from far away, and maybe even those we don't like very much. In the story we just read, a lawyer asked Jesus what he had to do to gain eternal life. When Jesus asked him what the Bible said, the Lord answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." Those are words that we probably know. "And love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus answered, "You're right. Do all of these things and you will live." But then the lawyer, wanting to kind of push Jesus a little bit, asked, "Well, who is my neighbor?" To answer this question, Jesus told another story. A lot of times Jesus answers questions with stories. He talks about a man who was traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They beat him and they took his money and they stripped him of his clothes and they left him on the side of the road, and he was really hurt. Well, a priest came by, and when he saw the man, he crossed over to the other side of the road and continued on his way. A little while later, a Levite, another man who worked in the temple, came along, and he also saw the man lying there, very hurt, and he passed by on the other side of the road. Finally, a man from Samaria came along, and when he saw the man, he stopped to help him. He put medicine on his wounds, and he wrapped them with bandages, and that isn't all. He took the man to an inn and helped to take care of him. He even gave the innkeeper more money in case they needed to get more supplies to care for this man. So then Jesus asked, which of these three men was a neighbor to the man who was attacked? And the lawyer answered, well, the one who helped him, of course. You're right. Now go and do the same, Jesus said. So when I'm thinking about how we might apply this message to our everyday life, I realized it's not every day that we, especially as kids, come across people who are lying hurt alongside the road. And if we did, I know that our parents and our friends would help. But what does Jesus want us to learn from this story that we can do each and every day? There's one word that sticks with me throughout this story, and it is the word stop. You see, I think that the most important thing and the most Christ-like thing that the Samaritan man did was stop. The priest crossed the road and kept going. The Levite man stepped over him and kept going, but the Samaritan man stopped. And that made all the difference, didn't it? If he wouldn't have stopped, he wouldn't have been able to help. So I got to thinking that the letters in stop were a good way to remind us of what Jesus calls us to do whenever we come across someone who could use some help, if they are hurt, if they are in need, or if they could just use a friend. So what is the first letter of stop? S. S stands for stay with them. Sometimes just sitting and being with someone is the most healing thing we can do. Now we've got T. Tell them you love them. Reminding people they are loved and not alone is some of the best medicine around. O is for offer them something they need. Is your friend hungry, thirsty? Do they have another need that would make them feel better or more comfortable? And P is for pray with them and for them. Prayer is powerful and can lift us up when we are feeling low. So what do you think? Do you think you can stop? Take time to look around for those in need? Can you stay with them? Can you tell them you love them? Can you offer them something they need? Can you pray with them? I think stop might be our latest four-letter word of faith and something to keep in mind as we seek to be good Samaritans this week and every week. So let's take time to pray together, and then we will end by saying our Lord's Prayer. Loving God, help us to love you with all of our hearts and our souls and our minds and our strength, and help us to take time to stop and to love our neighbors. Give us the courage to stay with friends when they need it, to tell them words they need to hear, to offer them what they need, and to pray with and for them. All of these things we know will make a difference, and all of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you for that beautiful piece of music sung and played. Good morning. Very good to be here. I got two words, and I'm going to come back later, so I'm going to say them now and ask if you can remember them. They are broken vase. Broken vase, okay? Now, I have this sense that the first things I say in these moments might be, for some of us, the most remembered things that I say. So I'll just point out that while the Good Samaritan is so famous as a story from Jesus about how that one from a hated group, the Samaritans, did such powerfully wonderful things when the religious people did not. The reason Jesus shared the story was as the answer to a question. Do you remember what the question was? It was, who is my neighbor? In one of the churches I was pastor, there was a man who would fall asleep during the sermon. Well, no doubt there may have been more people that fell asleep during the sermon. I understand that. But there was this gentleman who told me, I served there 10 years, and before I even got to the pulpit, he said to me, you know, Pastor, I'm going to fall asleep during the sermon. So he was very upfront with me about this. But this man was someone who loved the church, he loved the people, he worked so hard, he was chair of the present consistory for a while. He told me that he had this challenge, that he would fall asleep. We would just laugh about it. Probably sleep apnea. I said that if this is the place where he felt most comforted, where he felt safe, well, I would have the honor that he would fall asleep during my sermon. What else was I going to say? I don't know how those of you with children, if you've ever driven with them in the car and they fall asleep when you're driving the car, I find that to be quite a trusting moment when I'm driving the car. They're not looking out the windows wondering the next thing I'm going to hit. They fall asleep. So I kind of feel in the same kind of way that they trust me, and he trusted me. And well, anyway, for those who are here right now, who may be getting comfortable, taking off their shoes, pulling their blankie close, here's the sermon within a sermon, and then we'll move on. Here's the sermon. The Good Samaritan story is not, in its main point, how to be good to others. That's a secondary point. The main point is to remember the question which brought the story to the surface. Who is my neighbor? But if you heard as it was read so beautifully for us a few moments ago, it wasn't simply, who is my neighbor? It was, and who is my neighbor? Or some translations have it, after Jesus goes through this whole thing, you know, this man comes to him, he's a lawyer. That means not that he's a lawyer in the sense that we would think, but that he is a teacher of the law, the five books of Moses. And we think that perhaps he was not simply coming to have a conversation, but he wanted to challenge Jesus. So he might not have just said, and who is my neighbor? He might have been saying, but who is my neighbor? Remember, Jesus had said to him, you know, you're a teacher, you understand these things. Love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus reminded him of this. If you remember the Ten Commandments, the first four are about loving God, and the last six are about loving neighbor. Jesus said, love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? That's the main, we talk about this and think about it. We are to love God. Love our neighbor. Well, that's the thrust of this sermon. I've revealed all the goods up front before watching thoughts of sleepiness swimming through the moments. If this is for you, go ahead. We'll catch up with you in a short while. As for the rest of us, what to do? Where to start? There is so much more to this story beyond the defining of who neighbors are and thinking about the people that live next door on the other side of the wall or upstairs or downstairs. There's more to thinking about being good neighbors. There's more to this about rather than neighborliness, especially in an era when some around us seem more dangerous and less caring than they should be or used to be, about people they don't even know. In this era when we understand that half the population is losing some of their rights this very month. In this era when the world seems to be less cared for in environmental situation, about the values of mainline Protestantism and about the values indeed of the American Republic. It's a lot to cover, and we better get started, I guess. But we're here. We're right here. We're living and reading the news and thinking about where God calls us to be, whether right here or right here. And I'll take a moment to say how good it is to be sharing with you this morning. Since I may be new to many of us present today, I'll just say that I have been part of the retirement wave of this summer. There's been a lot of pastors retiring this summer, and I'm one of them. I retired recently. But I did so after 35 years as a pastor at 5 churches in Penn Northeast Conference, and more often, Pennsylvania Southeast Conference. I served as a solo pastor for 21 years, in fact, not too far from here up in Sumneytown, and as a leader of a large church staff for 14 years. I'm married with 3 children, a couple of son and daughters-in-law, and 9 grandchildren. But I have been a friend and a colleague to St. John's members and clergy and have worshiped here in the past, the last time when I was on sabbatical. You know, I used to work on Sundays. Last time I was here, I was on sabbatical, and I've known many of the people here and the clergy, and it's been wonderful to be a neighbor to this congregation. But it's good to be back. And a great honor to be standing in this very pulpit. I'm one of the world's neighbors of this congregation, watching you, thinking about you, praying for you, and maybe you never even knew it. Thank you for your welcome. You know, when I lead a funeral, I have a phrase that I often say. I say, we come today to be comforted in the loss of our dear friend or loved one. But I try to remember to remind us that we come to comfort as well. So we have this idea where we come to comfort and we come to be comforted. Now, I know that this is a praying congregation and a caring congregation, and that you care for the world, the United Church of Christ, and the Lansdale community. But I'm also here to remind you to remember that you are being prayed for by so many, not just me, by so many around our community and our United Church of Christ and our world. It is good to be here to tell you that, to remind you of that. I am aware of this important summer and this important moment in the life of St. John's United Church of Christ. I'm aware that this is a time of discernment and prayer and thought, and loss, and sorrow, and tears, and of faith. I assume hear a great understanding of the depths of the story of the Good Samaritan. You treat me with this by the knowledge that I have about St. John's Church. I'm aware that how Jesus calls us to make application of the story's precepts in what we hear when he says, go and do likewise. I have a great respect for the mission and ministry of St. John's Church to the Lansdale community, even this difficult week that Lansdale has suffered. But I'm also aware of the mission and ministry to the United Church of Christ and the world over a long time. Thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you to your leadership. Thank you to the congregation. May you sense God's call, God's blessings, and the love for you by your neighbors in the Pennsylvania Southeast Conference, the North Penn Association, and beyond. It is, in fact, that larger neighborliness from which I come and to which I witness as you search your own depths of Christian spirit, faithful understandings, and congregational discernment in these days. For me, it is amazing to come here on this day when the lectionary, though, couples with the story of the Good Samaritan the idea of the Colossian reading. You may know that in using the lectionary, we are invited and challenged to not go to our hobby horse scripture passages, those of us who preach and those of us who lead worship services. Such would be the case in my case, which we would hear from Romans 8:28 every week or some other passage. But we hear today not only a favorite in the Good Samaritan, but the beautiful words of the church, the letter to the church of Colossae. The lectionary does that for us. The lectionary brings us to different places in the Bible, in the larger realm of Bible knowledge and faithful experience. So to couple, as I said, St. Paul's greetings to the local congregation at Colossae with the description of Christ's call to recognize that neighbors are more than the people next door. The lectionary calls us to hear how others we may not think about are caring for us, praying for us, in Paul's case, undergoing imprisonment for the message of God's love, and thus on our behalf and the behalf of the Colossian church. These things should not be missed. Paul says, it's like I have to stand up straight when I say this. Paul says, we always thank God when we pray for you, when we remember you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ. Paul and his fellow leaders in Christ considered themselves as partners in proclaiming the gospel, the good news of Christ's love and God's care for the world. Paul and his fellow leaders cared for the saints, as he typically called the church members where he was involved. And for reaching out from his imprisonment in Rome, he extended Christian fellowship across the miles. He remembered that Epaphras was the pastor, the leader, the founder of that church at Colossae. He remembered that Philemon was the host, because this church was a house church. Philemon was the host of the house church. You may remember the letter of Philemon where he appeals to Philemon on behalf of God's love for others. Paul is remembering while in prison in Rome the love that he has felt from the churches where he has visited. And he knows that with the leaders, he shares this great calling and ministry and mission. One commentator reflecting on this passage to the Colossians has said, this is an example for a positive multi-staff ministry in the local church. You remember Paul and Timothy? Well, we had Epaphras and Philemon as we remember the church of the Colossians. Now, I said at the very beginning two words. Anybody can remember what some of those that were here earlier? I'm not going to look to you. Anybody remember what those two words were? Oh, my goodness. Oh, that's powerful, powerful. Either that or that you missed everything I've just said. But anyway, the reason I wanted to say that was because I am reminded of some love and care that happened in my life, and it had to do with, you probably guessed it, a broken vase. I said to my mother, I feel like I ought to hide here at this point, that will be fine, as we were throwing pillows around the living room as children. I was 11 years old. That was about 10 years ago. Well, don't you know it? You do know it, don't you? You know the story. The vase got broken. You weren't even there that day, but the vase got broken. And guess what? It was, yes, her favorite vase. And it was unfixable. And I'm here to tell you that all these years later, my mother has never said anything to me about that broken vase. But I'll bet she knows about it, and I'll bet she remembers it, because I certainly do. The kind of love and care that would go into being aware that your favorite vase was just broken after you said, please stop throwing pillows in the living room. That's the kind of neighborliness that I have appreciated and benefited from. Now, I don't know if anybody else in this whole room has broken a vase or broken something else or done something ill to a favorite thing of a family member or a loved one. Maybe that hasn't happened in some other lives. But I appeal to you with Paul, with Christ, to remember the good things that have been given to you, whether they've been things or not. And as we gather this day, I'm remembering the words of my mother, who said, it's all fun and games until, and I don't know if anybody could fill out that phrase. Anybody ever heard that before? It's all fun and games until what? Something gets broken, or someone gets hurt, or someone's eye gets pushed out. I think it was from some place where it was. That Samaritan probably did not have a whole lot of fun and games. And when that Samaritan was faced with a decision that the religious people chose to go another direction, That Samaritan, I'm imagining, probably had a lot of things come up in his life, and it hadn't been a lot of fun and games. But he chose to look at that broken person in front of him and do something different, and do something dramatic, and do something radical for his life and the life of those around him. And I'd like to think that Jesus was watching. Jesus was watching because he took that story, remembered it, and when it was an appropriate time, when he had the people gathered around him, he said, okay, lawyer, you're challenging me to tell you? Here's how I'm going to answer. I already told you, love your neighbor, and you said, but who's my neighbor? Here's how you decide who your neighbor is. Remember that Samaritan. And remember the life that he may no doubt had led, living in that community, hated by everyone, and yet he could see through it all and do the right thing. This morning we hear the story of the Good Samaritan. It's a favorite, a wonderful story. We hear from Colossians, those are not words that are as well known. But I invite us to place them together and to place them right here as we gather for worship, as we share in song, and share later in prayer. May God bless us as we decide who we are and who we're going to be in the face of the brokenness in front of us, and how we're going to carry that for the rest of our lives through our giving, our sharing, but our faith. Amen.
be seated. As we move into our time of prayer this morning, I, of course, have some joys and concerns to lift up that have been shared in our book. Our first joy is that both Nicole Groff and Connie May celebrated a birthday on July 7th, so we celebrate with them. And today, Kay Fiala is celebrating a birthday, so we celebrate with her. I've shared it as an announcement for the past couple of weeks, but today it's shifted to a joy, and that is about our Lansdale Garden Tour. Don Atkiss reported we had about 75 people visit St. John's Gardens on the Lansdale Garden Tour yesterday, and Marie Bertolette raised $190 from her book signing to donate to the Garden of Health, which provides locally grown produce to area food banks. So a thank you to Don and to our many gardeners for cultivating and caring for the beauty around us, and we are grateful that many got to enjoy that yesterday. We do have a few concerns to lift up. We keep in our prayers the family of Beverly Battersby, who is the sister of Marge Jewell. Beverly passed away on Thursday, so our prayers of comfort are surrounding Marge and her family. We continue to keep the Canfields, Betty and Dennis, in our prayers. Dennis is currently in St. Luke's Hospital after a fall. And continued healing prayers for Christine Wiley following surgery. Bearing in mind that we all come to this time and place with our own prayers needing to be lifted up, joys and concerns and names and faces that weigh heavy on our hearts, I invite us to lift those up together now as we count on God to help us carry them. Let us pray. God, how good it is to be reminded that even as we pause to pray for our neighbor, we are a neighbor to others, as a community, as individuals, and others are holding us in prayer this day. What a powerful thing to remember. God, we do take time now to lift up those within our own community, those in our neighborhood. We think of them as they celebrate, as they heal, as they mourn, as they grieve. We bear in mind, especially this day, O God, Nicole and Connie and Kay as they celebrate birthdays. We think of the many people who were able to experience and be a part of the beauty of your creation that you have placed in our care here at St. John's. We give you thanks for the hearts and the hands that tend our beautiful creation. God, we ask that your healing prayers surround Betty and Dennis and Christine, and that your healing and comfort might be around Marge and all who are mourning Beverly's passing. God, we pray that you might open our eyes that we might see what the Samaritan saw. Grant us the insight to see the need in others, the wisdom to know what to do, and the courage to do it. We pray for all those who in many and various ways are in need of healing, of a listening ear, of an understanding heart, of the loving and compassionate presence of a friend. God, we pray for children in our midst who are watching us as we respond. We pray especially for those starved of love, of food, of shelter, or security. May they and may the world receive the future you have planned for them, a future of peace and reconciliation and hope. God, we pray for those we might cross the road to avoid, those who have been excluded socially because of their race, their orientation, their beliefs, their financial status, or their history. May all know the dignity that is yours for them, and may it be restored. We pray for those whose needs we would rather not face up to because it requires action of us. Those who suffer atrocities because of war, unjust laws, or oppressive leadership. May the world receive a true and honest picture of their reality, that hearts may be softened and justice may prevail. Open our eyes, O God, that we might not cross the road from human need, but that we might be drawn towards it, knowing that you are with us each step of the way. Give us a deep love for you, that we might see your love at work in this world, and that we might be that love, so that we might go and do likewise. We pray all of these things and the prayers of our hearts in the name of Christ. Amen. I trust that all of you have had an opportunity to place your offering in the plates as you made your way in the sanctuary. A reminder that if you didn't get a chance to do that, you're more than welcome to come forward after the service to make sure that it gets where it needs to go. But now I do invite you to stand as we join in singing our doxology as our offering is brought forward so that we might dedicate and bless it to God's service.
Holy and ever-blessed God, we give thanks for the ability we have to be here today, to share during this time of worship in this sacred and beautiful place. We are inspired by your love, O God, and we respond. We go and do likewise. As we respond through the gifts of our offerings, our talent, our treasure, ourselves, from the very depths of our being do we give, O God. And we pause in the midst of this day and ask that you dedicate, bless our gifts, that they may go to show your vision for the world this day and always. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you.
have been the church gathered, I invite us to be the church dispersed as we go upon our way. And I'm going to take a picture for my wife. Susan could not be with us today. She is the organist at Schenkel United Church of Christ near Pottstown, near what was Camp Fernbrook, and she would like to have been here but could not. She works on Sundays, you know. Please know and go with his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and bring you peace, now and forever. Thank you.